Welcome to Botches Off-Road. Join us as we talk about everything from gear reviews to trail stories, tent camping to rock landing, and all things to do with the outdoors. It's been a little bit, guys. Like, I know I recorded last week alone. Yeah. I think me and Mark recorded the week before that with Tyler. Oh, that's why this feels so out, because 2 weeks ago we recorded on a Sunday with Tyler for Morflate. Last week, I recorded with, oh, by the way, that episode is definitely not out yet, by the way. I recorded with Dan Greck. I just remembered I need to edit that yet. Yeah, okay, you guys will get that episode. It's a really good one.
Yeah.
It's with Dan Greck. He's an author. You'll have to look him up. He's pretty cool. I wish Gavin was here for that, by the way.
Yeah.
Because,
sorry.
You know, I like the off-road thing, but Dan's more of an overlander, and Gavin and him probably could have talked for hours. Like, super cool,
especially since he just got a kid, too.
Yeah, he just had a kid. Yep.
Yeah. I don't remember what I had going on, but I had something going on. Oh, I think it was... Yeah, I had a home improvement, and then, that was the day
that you took Sienna out across the state.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I got up at, we got up at 1 a.m. to go to East Hollis, which is about 3.5 hours away, because she can't drive, but she had an inventory, so she can drive, but at night, she has, like, early onset glaucoma, some kind of shit like that. Like, she has glaucoma. She has a specialist. It gets worse constantly. And so at night, she cannot drive very well. She can't see. Everything's really mushy, and lights are very stringy. And so a 3.5 hour drive, getting up at 1 a.m., going all the way over there, was just not a good idea. And it's not like she can really just say no.
Right.
So me and the boy... and her, we all got up, drove over there, she went to work, and we sat in the parking lot for a few hours, and then after she finally got out, we went to a park to actually make some use of the time. We went to the state park over there, and got there, forgot that the car doesn't have a rec pass, because we take the truck everywhere we need a rec pass for, state park pass.
Yeah.
So we got up there and we're like, how much is the steak part pass? She's like, well, nobody's working. We don't have any money to pay these guys. So she goes, come on in. I'm like, fuck yeah. So we got in there, checked out the lighthouse, walked along the shore. You got to play in the little sea foam. And then, we packed up and came all the way back. And by the time we came back, it was already pretty late. None of us had slept a wink yet except the kid. And we were just fucking crazy exhausted beyond belief. So.
I should have had Jasper on. He could have helped me with that interview.
Oh god. he would have deleted everything. He likes this RGB keyboard. So he'd be tapping on that the whole time. Yeah.
Wait, do you still have it set to rainbow puke when you say RGB?
No, it's a dark green and
thank god.
Bluish. No, I don't have it. It only goes to rainbow puke usually when I'm logged out. Or, like, between sessions.
So it doesn't save its RGB settings?
No, so, like, when you log out of your account and it goes to, like, switch user, it goes to RGB.
That's really annoying. I can save.
I'm sure you could switch it. I just don't know the technology.
Mine saves the RGB settings, so I set it, and then it just keeps it until it randomly forgets it. But it's annoying because I don't run Linux. Or I don't run Windows, I run Linux, and my keyboard requires Windows to set the RGB. So I set it one time, and I used it, and it kept forgetting profiles until all of a sudden I had no profiles, so now it's just a normal keyboard.
I have, for my, my profile, it's dark green, and then for Sienna's profile, it's purple, and then when you're in that selection, the login selection, it's RGB. So it is what it is. I don't really care, honestly. It's not really, doesn't really bother me when it's in that.
Yeah.
Because I'm usually always in my profile.
Right, right.
even when I'm off, it's just I just turn the desktop monitor and the color off on the mouse and keyboard and just kind of it's like the night light.
It's a lot more than I do. I just walk away from my desk. Oh, well, yours well, is in your room.
Yeah, so the kid will get up here and fuck with it if I leave all my stuff on.
So anyways, now that we've had 5 minutes of keyboard talk.
Sweet.
Is that a Met keyboard or does it... Do you know? Do you know what a Met keyboard is?
A what keyboard?
A mechanical keyboard.
Clank, 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 clank.
No, nah, mechanical don't keyboards so. Don't all have to go clank. I just have noisy switches.
Not really, no. It's just like a Corsair.
I mean, Corsair makes mechanical keyboards.
I don't know, man. I don't know what it is. It's a keyboard. It doesn't make louder sounds than a typical keyboard, so no, I don't think so.
Well,
although Sienna likes those mechanical ones that make the big, like, we went to Best Buy, and she's like,
"That's mine.
I like this one. I like the sound it makes."
Yeah, so like, I like noisier keyboards. That's why the listeners hear me, my clanking here and there. But I have built mechanical keyboards that make literally no sound. The benefit is that when a switch dies, so if a key quits working, usually you throw the keyboard out and get a new one. With a mechanical one, you just change the switch so you can keep using your keyboard without... Yeah. Like, mine's been doused in beer a few times, and whenever I get a key that gets sticky, I just move it to a less used key.
There you go.
Yeah, it works. But anyways, this is a rap, but it's going to be a long rap because it's like 3 weeks of raps.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's only about a week. I don't really have anything going on, but
we had the Gilmore Museum, which we haven't talked about.
Nope.
Which was amazing, by the way.
It was.
There's
quite a few FJs there too.
There were quite a few FJs there.
I know, I always have FOMO. I hate missing out on this stuff, but
you had a wedding or something.
We had a wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a wedding.
I tried to get out of it just because I wanted to go to Nolan's wedding, which, congratulations, Nolan, on your marriage. But yeah, no, Sienna's cousin had one, and I had forgotten about it, and we did the RSVP and everything, so.
So you were stuck. Yeah, we went, me, Mark, Alan, and Joe Karen from, I guess he's from Beyond the Mitten now. My wife backed out last minute and I'm like, all right, who's someone I can sit in a truck with for like 3 hours and not hate them? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then it came, who's not busy?
Yeah.
But it was fun. We went down, we didn't win any awards because a stock 4Runner with a rooftop tent is better than my long travel 4Runner and a stock JK is somehow the best rig there, even though there were much better built JKs.
That was the third place.
Oh, was it? Who was first? Oh, the F-150.
The giant Ford. Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah, it sounds like they were judging them like SEMA builds.
It was...
They have to be super shiny.
It was voters' opinions.
It was user choice. It was weird. It was weird. That's what it was.
That's okay. I'm sure you guys still had fun.
It was great. It was a great time. There's a slot car track there, and it got us addicted to slot cars.
Yeah, we went there for one hobby and came back with another one.
So now I have a slot car track in my upstairs extra bedroom, and I pretty much spend all my free time whipping cars around this track.
We got another box right here of slot cars.
Yeah. It's a problem. It's going to be a problem. I feel it.
I can already see, like, hobby-wise, the stupid TikTok, like, excavators, bulldozers, and stuff. I would buy those, spend hours.
Wait. Do those come in HO scale? Because we could totally put that in the world we're going to build.
What's HO?
1/64th.
Yeah, like Hot Wheel size. I think those are a little bit bigger.
These are bigger. These are, like, model cars.
Well, how...
size
164
I want
HO is your average.
I want to say they're 124.
HO is your average modern train or model train.
They're about that size.
I've seen the one where they had the basement and they've just been excavating the crap out.
Yeah, so I think they're around that size.
They come in 1/8 or 1/14, but not 1/64.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
I want the bigger ones because I want to take them out when we camp and stuff. And we could build fire pits.
Yeah.
Or clear fire pits. They're really fun. They got a bulldozer.
But the
a bulldozer, excavator, front end loader.
The actual good, like, usable ones, the ones that they use in the TikTok reels, those are like $2,000 toys.
Yeah, I don't want those ones. I just want the toy ones that, because those have dumpable buckets and stuff. Like they articulate. Yeah,
they're just not.
They have all that.
They're not actually die cast like they claim. Like you can get this one, the Haluna 1593. It's an alloy. It's not die cast. It's alloy. But I don't know. They're cool. I want to play with one really bad.
Yeah, I think they're like 38, 40 bucks a piece, something like that. For the whole set, it's like 120, like set of four or five. So
yeah,
I just want them, play them with them in the dirt, give the kid one of the controllers and just kind of hang out and do that. I mean, that'd be a fun thing to do at camp because
right.
I think a lot of the times, I was already talking to Alex about this earlier, like a lot of the times you get to camp and I hate to say it, but sometimes like relaxing is boring.
Relaxing is always boring.
You know what I mean? So like, you get to camp and you're all set up and yeah, you relax for a few hours. A lot of the times I do my relaxing at night after we're done traveling all day. So
I would say you,
so then when you have 12 hours in between that and you're like, so now what?
If you remember, usually I get bored and start fucking with my truck at camp.
Yeah. So it would give us an activity to kind of do. They don't take up a lot of space and give us something to do for a couple hours, maybe more. I don't know. It depends. It'd be fun to do as like as the botches group, just get a couple beers,
dude,
go out and
do that. Pair that with some RC race cars that are set up for like dirt drags. Build racetracks with the excavator and stuff, and then race the RC cars.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, it'd be fun.
Yep. Make jumps.
So I'm saying, yeah. Do like pre-runners, two-wheel drive pre-runners just to whip around. And then also have crawlers because, well, crawlers are sick. No,
as a kid, I never had RC cars. I never had Power Wheels or anything like that. We didn't make that kind of money. So I had always wanted one. And now that these RC cars are like a dime a dozen and you can get decent ones for really cheap. So it's like, I was like, dude, I kind of want to tap into that childhood fantasy and get some of these and fuck
them. I always had RC cars because I got my cousin's hand-me-downs, but they were like $30 RC cars from Walmart, and they were usually like missing tire rubber by the time I got them.
I never even got the cheap ones that had like you get those really cheap ones from Walmart, and they just have a forward and a backward button.
Yeah, I had those.
I never even got those. Like
I had,
it was all Hot Wheels.
I had one, the one new RC I got. It was an RC Dragonfly, and it was the coolest fucking thing, dude. All styrofoam body with dragonfly wings, and it actually flew. Like it was really cool.
Oh, I did have those hand activated like foam helicopters.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You like zip the line and they go.
I had those.
Yeah. Those lasted about a day before those ended up in a tree or the neighbor's yard, and we never found them again.
I think the last RC cars I had was the Battle one with laser tags.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It had an orange Camaro and a blue Mustang.
I'm purposely trying to stay out of RC, though, because I have a problem with hobbies, and RC is kind of expensive to, like, if I got into RC, I couldn't just buy an RC car and leave it alone. I'd have to upgrade it and modify it.
Yeah.
And I can't afford that, dude. I got a truck today. I'm buying another truck.
I get into these TikTok guys. I was like these guys overseas in like Asia or something, and they're making like old semis, and they're using like complete like axles. They're doing like lathes, and stuff to like bore out brake drums, like disc brakes. And I'm like, holy! Like they're doing everything by lathe. They're making everything custom.
And
it's
you'd
like,
think,
oh my
you'd
God. You
think that's
dude.
The cheaper way to do it, but the equipment is so expensive.
Yeah, you have to have all the lathes and stuff for it. And I'm watching them make all this stuff. And it's like, it's a scaled down like suspension of an actual vehicle. Like, he makes tie rods. Like, I'm like, dude, this is crazy. And then he just goes and drives them around. I'm like, dude, But it's cool. Like, they drive them through mud, like, fully loaded and stuff. And I'm like, that'd be fun.
Yeah, so we got into the slot car thing. Other things that happened, they had a Bantam, which I have seen one in the past at a car show. But there's just something about seeing one of the first Jeeps ever assembled just sitting there, just looking pretty.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. Sadly, they did not have a W41, so the whole me wanting to see another Oldsmobile thing, that got put to the side. but there is one of those for sale right now for $4,000, and if I didn't just make a deal to buy another 4Runner, I would definitely be trying to buy it.
Yep.
Because I wish it came up actually, if it came up 3 weeks ago, my dad would have bought it. But now he's putting $18,000 into a Duramax that he paid $21,000 for because Duramax. When he bought the Duramax, there was a Power Stroke that had everything done to it. It was ready to go. It was beautiful, in better shape than this one for the same price. And he had already went down to Florida, but he didn't want to drive an hour out of his way to go look at this Power Stroke. So he went 20 minutes out of his way to look at this Duramax and bought that instead. And it was such a misstep. Really, just Duramaxes in general. He's had nothing but bad luck with them.
Yep.
I think we lost Gavin to his game about singing ladies.
No. Just communicating to the other teams that they need to vacate the premises before reset.
See, what else happened in the last couple weeks? We had Rigs and Coffee.
Cords and Calf.
Yeah.
And Rigs and Coffee.
That was
fun. Cords and Calf was fun. I got there late because I thought it was at 12, like the last one. I was like,
the last
so, okay.
one started at 10, too.
I thought it started at
12. I think they both started at 10.
Yeah. Oh, well, then I just got it messed up then. Got it switched around. But I was like, okay, yeah, we'll be a little late because, you know, Cena had to get stuff around and I had clothes in the washer and dryer that weren't done yet. So then we finally get out there and everyone's like, oh, perfect timing. We're getting ready to go wheeling. And I'm like, okay, cool. Perfect timing. So we all run out there. And I mean, honestly, I think we pretty much just re-ran most of the routes off a Poker Run.
Yep.
And that was a lot of fun.
We just didn't do the one loop.
Yeah. Well, what I thought was really fun about that day in particular was every rig was built to a point where it could do every obstacle. Every driver was competent enough that we didn't have to stop every 30 seconds. I mean, we were able to get out, do what we needed to do, have fun without having to, you know, drag people through and wait for people. And
yeah. I think there are definitely I think I feel pros to bringing new people. I like to show new people the fun that you can have.
Yeah.
But there are times where doing it without them and working on yourself instead of focusing on other people is more enjoyable. And that's what was.
You know,
that was a chance to test yourself and to see like, hey, this is where I've come. I can now hang with the big boys. Like,
usually when I bring new people out, I want it to be in a smaller group of like 1 to 3. We had, I think we had 6 or 7 rigs out there.
Yeah. Yeah. We had 7.
9. Well, you count, not counting us, would be 7.
Oh, really?
We're almost to 10.
We had a lot of,
I thought we were at 7.
1, 2.
All of us.
No, 8
total.
Total.
Yep. You know, that's a bigger group than I would normally go out with. But like I said, we were all competent, and we knew what we were doing.
Yep.
We just got out, we did our thing, we came back.
Yeah, and when you have people experience like that, the number of rigs that's acceptable, like for that kind of thing, it can change.
Yep.
Like typically, like Alex said, like usually we would do like the group of us, like 4.
Yep.
But you know, when you have everybody who kind of knows what the deal is, and how to get through everything already. We all had that kind of experience with Poker Run, maybe except for a few of us, but they got through it all fine. It makes it a lot easier to make your group a little larger. I mean, everybody's on the same page. If we do stop and it's a longer stop, everyone knows to like, hey, if you have to piss, do it now.
Yep.
We're not, you know, we don't stop for a minute. Oh, I got to pee. Then stop a couple minutes later. Oh, she has to pee. It's it's business.
And, you know, I think everyone got through every single obstacle aside from at the end there, Shane got hung up in that one off camber mud climb. It's not really a hill climb. It's not a rock climb. Let's call it what it is. It's a mud climb. It's an uphill, crazy rutted out, muddy climb.
Yeah,
it's hard to explain. But if you listen to our podcast back from the poker run, Mark actually DB'd at that same spot that Shane got stuck. Yep. So it's a problem place for people who aren't solid axle or people who, I don't know. How would you explain that as it's a problem for people who don't have articulation?
Yes.
Or clearance.
Most of it is articulation and some of it's clearance.
If you don't...
The bigger thing is not getting slopped into there like he did.
He got pulled into it. The line that I took was a safer line. I did not get pulled down into that 3-foot rut or whatever
either.
It was.
I
went and rode the top line and was able to get out of that.
I was too wide to run the top line, so I had to go through it.
But you're built for that.
Dude, and I did that, you know, I don't have a working locker right now, so I did that open, and it was literally no problem at all.
Shane is open too, isn't he?
He is, yep.
So
the only down
part of that.
The only downside I had was my 35s in the back, when they tucked up, the one that was in the body would bind and then all the power would go to the other one. So I was having a little bit of a traction problem, but I mean, I walked up it. I need to cut out the back of my truck.
My biggest problem with that whole thing was 100%. About halfway up, I stopped moving. I couldn't move at all, and I'm just spinning, and I'm like, what the fuck? What's going on? Like, I should be able to do this. I really should. Like, there's no problem. I'm aired down. I know my truck. I'm sitting there looking around like, why does it feel like I'm slipping? And I look down, my traction control is blinking. I'm like, why the fuck is that blinking in four-wheel drive?
And
I look down at my shifter and I'm like, oh fuck, I'm in
two-wheel
drive. So yeah, so when I went to shift, I don't look when I shift. Typically I'm pretty good at, you know, knowing where four low, four high is. So when I threw it in neutral and shifted, I accidentally shifted into second. Or two-wheel drive, not second, but two-wheel drive, and that's why I stopped moving. So I shifted it back over and up into four low. Yeah.
Four low.
And then I went right through everything.
Yeah,
so
it was...
There was no problem.
And we did that other hill climb. I don't think anyone really... I mean, when we were not aired down, we all started.
Oh, yeah,
but...
Yeah, so we did that first hill climb, which in Poker Run we actually did that backwards.
Yes.
Because there was a large rock that I hit my my diff on the first time and had to stop and go around it. Unfortunately, all the Toyotas hadn't aired down yet. All the Jeeps had already aired down. So they made it up no problem, and we're like, what the fuck? This isn't cool. Like, and all the Jeep guys are razzing us, like friendly razzing. They're not saying, oh, you guys shitty. So we went up and we tried, and it was just getting up that first part.
I never tried it.
So we all
aired up.
Yeah. So we all aired down once Alex figured out I had my compressor. We all aired down. And and then after that, it was no problem. I had where I'd gotten stuck before, I had no problem getting up after. It's a true testament to like how much airing down helps traction.
Oh, yeah.
And I know Mark said something about that too. Like you went from getting almost all the way up to the top. We got pretty much to the peak.
Yeah.
And it's just that little last hump over to be level as we were, where pretty much all of us were digging down. And once we had aired up, that wasn't the problem. I did notice I lost some traction once we got up to like the deeper, what do you call that? Sugar sand?
Yeah,
the deep sand.
Yeah. Looser than beach sand.
And so it's loose sand up top. Still wasn't a problem, but you could still, when you drive your truck long enough, you can still feel when you're starting to lose traction. So Yeah, that's the only problem I started to have, but still got through it no problem.
Yeah, I didn't it just went through it. I didn't really have any problems. The very top of that, last time I went through there, I was still narrow in the front. That's going to be a continuing theme here, is me being wide is kind of a fucking problem.
Yeah, I think the only issue that Alex did have was those skinny trees.
Oh my god, dude. I rubbed... Everyone else drives through these two trees like nothing's wrong. I brushed both sides with my tires. Took some bark off, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, and I did, before we hit that, I think, there was a low-hanging tree, and everybody else went through it, and my WeBoost antenna has, you can change the direction, you can lower it, that way it doesn't hit things. I usually don't mess with it, because I let it hit, and, that's what it's there for, but that's why there's a spring on it, right? So... I got to it, and it was literally, that tree was, hitting my boxes, and I was like, okay, that's going to be a hard hit on that WeBoost. So I went to go lower it, and for some reason it was locked up, probably just rust, because I haven't touched it all summer. So I was like, I kind of looked behind me, that guy with his brand new Jeep, it only had 1,500 miles. I was like, all right.
1,200 miles, and he's out.
Yeah, low. Right. Yep. Which, you know what?
Good on him.
That awesome. Yep. Good for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to cut this down. I said it over the radio. I'm just going to cut this down because I could probably go through it, bang my WeBoost up and shit and just go. But I was like, it's definitely going to hit your guys' truck too. So he helped me. He got out. I cut it up, threw it to the side. That was the only other real issue. Nothing really.
Yeah.
We had some water, but for Everett, that water was pretty low.
It was gone.
There's nothing really. Yeah, there's nothing really crazy. And thankfully, ever in the areas that we traveled, mostly rocky bottom, a lot of it I didn't have to hammer down through. Unfortunately, I was behind Mark, who felt that he had to hammer down on every mud puddle. So my windshield is completely covered in mud, and the whole front end of my truck was covered in mud. So,
dude, I don't even want to hear it.
I thought he was going to crack my windshield, dude. We got mud globs that big hitting our windshield. I'm like, son of a bitch, I'm going to crack it again.
The inside of my tire is the outside of my body, so the entire side of my truck was black. You couldn't see paint. You couldn't see through the windows,
Yeah, look like Alex is a totally different area than the rest
everyone
of
else. Like, their trucks were dirty, right? Mine was fucking trash.
Oh, yeah, yours had, you had mud. Yeah, you had mud all the way up the side of yours. And whoever was behind you, hopefully they didn't get it all over theirs. But
yeah, it was.
It was fun, though. It was a really fun day. When did we stop? At about 5, we were out for about 4 hours or so.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
Yeah, I think it was about, it's about right, it was 4 or 5.
So we did most of that in 4 hours.
Came back, tore down camp.
Yep. Bullshitted, everyone aired up their tires, and then we left. We ended up following Duncan.
Yeah.
And then we passed him on the highway. And then I slowed down because I was like, I'm not really in a massive rush. When I was going the speed limit, and then here comes Shane. I'm like, is that Shane? It's starting to get darker out. And so I'm looking at the silhouette of it, and he's got his white fog lights on. And I'm like, man, that's set up a lot like what Shane is. And then so we're looking on the Wolf Box, and we're like, I don't know, man. It looks, looking around. Finally, we see his rooftop, his roof rack. It's got the shovel and the tire. And I'm like, that's fucking Shane. I know it. So then I slow down right before we go to our exit, and he passes us, and we wave out. And
so we didn't get home till almost 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I think it was just because it was getting cool pretty damn fast, and that was. Sienna was cold. I got to find some heated socks and heated gloves for this winter because like my the rest of my body's fine. Like I don't really struggle with that, but I have really bad circulation, and I was just standing there. It wasn't even that cold out. Probably what 45 at that point.
I don't even think it was that. 50? I think 50 maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, and my the tips of my toes were freezing.
Dude, I'll tell you, because we camped out that Friday night. It is crazy. Like, inside the swag, it was below freezing. It was, like, high 20s. Inside the swag, we had me, Kaylin, and Jackson. And the air itself was probably, like, 40, 43, somewhere in there. But then under the blankets, dude, it was, like, I had to climb out from under the blankets. I was fucking dying. I mean, it...
Yeah, that heavy fabric, I'd imagine, has great insulative properties.
So, and then the dogs had their dog swag for the first camping trip. I just put both of them in the one swag. And I'm not going to camp without dogs. Like, I have to have that tent if I'm camping with dogs from now on. That was by far the best experience I've ever had with dogs.
Right.
There.
Yeah, I think if we go out again, we're definitely at this point with how cold it's getting at night. I keep my room with the window open pretty much. So usually, what it is outside is 5 to 10 degrees warmer in the room until it gets to below freezing, and then we throw a heater on. But I think at this point, we're gonna have to do diesel heaters before we go out and do an actual weekend again.
So yeah, we. Having the dogs in our tent was great, except at like 5:30 in the morning, we hear a bunch of commotion, and it wasn't my dogs barking yet. So I unzip my little flap and stick my head out, and there's this dude on a side by side with two huskies that are just going ballistic. And then my dogs start barking, and I watch this dude jump from his moving side by side to grab his dogs as they ran into our camp. And then I'm like, man, I don't know if my dogs are still there. So I'm like, Mercy, speak. Of course, they don't know how to do that. But I just needed one of them to make noise. Yep. Finally, I got Wrangler to wag his tail. So I heard thud, 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 thud on his tent. So that was great until we woke up and there was a random fucking car parked in our campsite.
Well, yeah, we were awake since then. Yeah. We never went back to sleep. We just laid there like... Can we go back to sleep or not?
And then Mark goes, I think I just heard footsteps. So we climb out, and there's this random Equinox parked in our campsite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, the spot that you guys picked was actually really not too far off the main road.
No, it's not.
No.
So I was kind of surprised when I put it in. Google Maps actually took me to that spot, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that was like, I was kind of surprised that it was that easy to get to, because typically when... Like, Alex picks a spot that's usually not that easy.
For cords and calf, my goal is to keep it within a quarter mile of a main road.
Well, hey, you know, I figured, especially with the trails that we did, I figured we could have something a little farther out. But that was,
because
it was fine. We had so many fucking side-by-sides down Everett that
Jesus
day.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's actually the spot we use for third-gen weekend, because it's big and open, and it's a fantastic spot.
Yep.
Right.
So that we use that for third-gen weekend just because we can fit everybody comfortably, and the kids have lots of room to play and do whatever in, so it's just a good spot. Yeah. That was a great trip, man. Then Sunday we had Riggs and Coffee, which was the trunk or treat, which was way smaller than last year.
Oh, yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, though. Jasper was old enough to walk around this time, so he actually walked around. We got him to walk around to every single car, and he got a massive bag of candy, and then proceeded to... He had a cup of cider in one hand, accidentally dumped it into that bag of candy. So that was where I was the other half of the rigs, was I was behind the truck talking to another guy. I can't remember his name. Toilet something is his Facebook name. But yeah, I was talking to him. He had the black, what was that, Land Cruiser? The one that was farther out a couple slots down from mine.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. He had that, and he, I think he said he came from Alabama or something like that, and he had never really done anything in Michigan. I was like, oh, dude, he's in Muskegon. I told him, you just come on out. I said, you just get a hold of me. Come on out. And I said, I could show you some local trails that are pretty easy, that, you know, get your feet wet. Nothing too hard that isn't going to, you know, sink your daily or anything. And
yeah.
So we chatted while I dried off all the candy from the apple cider. And
wait, is that the... Oh, no, no, no. The one that kept coming up and talking to me, he had a fourth gen 4Runner, I think.
Yep, he had the black one.
Yeah, that's what it was. Wheels. Yeah,
yeah, that yep. that he was a
younger, slim yeah, kid, a little shorter.
Yeah, from the army. He was in the army too.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, that was.
Yeah, I was messing with him because he was like, "Yeah, that wasn't fun." I was like, "Yeah, don't you have Firewatch or something?" He's like, "Fuck you."
Yeah, he tried doing that to me, and I'm like, "Bro, I've been out long enough."
I was gonna say it was probably after I talked to him. Because he was like, bro, he's like, I used to sleepwalk, dude. He's like, that shit ain't funny. Like, he was joking. Yeah. Like, it was funny.
Then
I don't care.
So, yeah, Rigs and Coffee was fun. Then we came back, and we were supposed to watch the F1 race, but we all were just too tired, so we went to bed, pretty much. Mark went home. I went to bed.
Oh, yeah, especially after helping Zach put his bumper on his Tundra.
I forgot.
Yeah, that was cool.
We put a bumper on a Tundra.
See, that is... That's the cool thing about the community, too, is, like, we went from trunk-or-treating, and Zach got a bumper from Becker.
Yep.
And he was like, yeah, probably going to put it on later, and I don't know what transpired into putting it on right there in the parking lot.
And we did it with, like, we did not have the right tools. Like, we cut the plastic bumper with a razor blade.
Yeah.
I saw that. I was like, I'm sure Zach would have paid someone to do it, but it was funnier to watch him watch everybody do it. And I walked up to Zach. I said, you're pulling a Derek Vespro right now. I said, like at our barn beers, he just watches everybody else do it.
Dude, it was.
And
it was fun.
It was fun. Yeah. Was fun. I mean, it was cool. He got it done. It looked pretty good from the pictures I saw. I didn't really see
anything too crappy. It looks good from when you're walking out of bingo and your buddy says, hey, is that your rig? Is that your job? And you say yes. That's when it looks good.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of the bumper itself, but from the picture, it looked good enough.
Yeah, and it's...
That's like, about, like, most of the Tundra bumpers. It's just, like,
yeah,
takes up half the original bumper valance.
Not my favorite thing I've ever seen, but, you know, when you have a Tundra, and you're not brave enough to buy a good Tundra, so you buy a new Tundra, you're kind of limited to options.
Hey, I think those are good Tundras,
too.
Oh,
let me rephrase that.
They're not the best.
A good modifiable Tundra.
Yeah, there you go. That's better.
It's not...
Because I do think those Tundras are decent. I think I would have bought one. I wish I had all this knowledge before I bought my FJ, because I would have bought a... what do you call them? Extended cab?
Yeah.
What's the... Whatever they are. The extended cab Tundra or the short box. Just because the space... It's funny. Those have more space for children.
Yeah.
In car seats than my FJ has, but I would have bought one of those or an LX something, or I'm sorry, a GX something.
Nah,
470 or something.
Don't be gay.
I do like those. I do like them. I mean, they're not when they're stock, they look pretty dumpy. When they're modified, they look pretty.
They
decent.
Look all right. I'll give them solid maybe in terms of attractiveness.
And the V8 is pretty cool.
Oh, no, hands down, the V8 is fantastic. I am not, you will not hear me disagree with that.
V8 with a supercharger, oh, that would be, that'd be sick. But
so we did Rigs and Coffee. That was fun. And then what else happened? Something else happened this week. Oh, I got my compressor from Morflate.
Yes.
So I guess I should announce that. Since they did send me a free compressor, I will give you an official review soon, but I will tell you I did a 0 to 35 inflation on a set of 35s, and it was under a minute. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. It's about time Alex has gotten a quality compressor and he doesn't have to share anymore.
See, and the thing is, I had a quality compressor and I took it out for another compressor that's the same factory as your Thor's Lightning and was all excited thinking that it was going to be great, and then it nuked itself.
Yeah. See, I think and this is me defending Thor's Lightning because they've already done better than the Alltops. I think they get a hold of these factories, and I think they do order some different parts to spec on these, because I feel that there is a different quality between when I had my Alltop versus the Thor's Lightning. I feel like there's different quality.
To be fair,
it runs better.
The Alltop that you had was the old design Alltop. I only know that because I took it apart and stole parts off it.
Yeah.
So ours was the updated Alltop, which is the same as the Thor's Lightning. They're the same compressor, same parts, different paint job.
I think the only difference was is that the outside of the manifold was metal for the Alltop, while his is plastic.
Yep, exactly.
You mean the top?
The, you know, your square vents?
Yeah, that's plastic on the Thor's Lightning.
That's plastic.
So it doesn't cool as good. But anyways, so the problem...
What are you talking about? It's metal.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
the fins on the side?
We'll look at it.
The top part's metal, but the bottom part underneath that,
red. I thought you were talking about the fins right up there around that. And I'm like, yeah, those are metal.
But anyways, so the problem I had with my Alltop is that it spit out the screws that hold the reeds in. And I've taken this thing apart and, like, retightened these. There's no torque spec for them. They just thread them in. Same thing the Thor's Lightning has. But I think from the research I've been looking at, Thor's Lightning puts a little bit of, like, thread lock in theirs, which should help keep that from happening. So that's a leg up, I guess. But, yeah, so that's how my Alltop was cooking itself, was it was spitting a fucking screw through it.
I don't know, man. I really, the Thor's Lightning has done three vehicles in one go with very little, you know, duty cycle
rest. I've got nothing bad to say.
Yeah. And it's just like, I would never trust my Alltop to do that.
Oh, dude, you're.
And it's not hot. Like, Joe could sit there, like, I had Joe touch it after everyone was done using it. Joe's like, holy shit. He's like, if you touch that Vlayer, he's like, you would have skin.
So your old Alltop, the one that I stole parts off of, that had no cooling whatsoever. So the way that ended up cooking itself was that had a little circuit board, and that circuit board overheated and melted all the solder.
Yeah.
They don't build them that way anymore. The Alltop is a whole different compressor from the one that you had. Like, that one we had was a whole different design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're very similar, though.
It looks.
As far as, like, the the designs for Morphlate, Alltop, Thor's Lightning, they're all very similar. They don't vary much.
The only similarity is the look. Once you get into the actual components of them, they're very different.
I'd like to get one of each and do a teardown side by side.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
And actually take them all apart and then compare them. I think that's really the only way that we're going to go through and, like, actually be able to see, feel, measure, get calipers out.
We got Duncan with his old top.
I've seen all three torn down at this point, and they're very different. So, like, The Morphlate has an actual round disc on the cooling fins, so it completely touches the cylinder, whereas Thor's Lightning just has contact pads. Alltop is even worse because they have a plastic disc and then metal on the outside with contact pads. And then the reeds that Alltop uses are a different reed than from what Morphlate uses, but the same reed that Thor's Lightning uses, but the screws are different because Thor's Lightning uses, like, a thread lock, some kind of goop to hold those in.
Yeah. I will say the hoses are definitely different.
Very.
My hose and connection setup is different and a lot better quality than the all top.
I agree with that.
Because I did have on the all top, I did have the quote unquote updated hose system for them. And that was no better. That was just, you could feel it. It felt junky.
For the most part, I think that the factory hose kits that come with those things are fucking dookie. The one thing I like about the Morflate, because if you remember when I modified my all top, it was to put a metal hose on so that it could cool before it went to the rubber hose. Cause I didn't want to overheat that metal or rubber hose. The Morflate already has that built in for the same reason. So it gives the air time to cool down before it gets to the softer line.
Yeah. I would have ordered the Morflate, if it would have came in time, but I needed it for that big trip. So. Thor's Lightning was honestly the only one that I could get one day shipped.
And it's treated you good.
So that's what I went with. And it's treated me good. Yeah. This is now my second summer with it, and it's done well. So, I mean, nobody wants to buy a compressor every year. I mean, we all had differing luck with, I mean, except for all top, we all had pretty differing luck with compressors. Mine from Harbor Freight. People say those Harbor Freight compressors last forever. People still have them. They must have gotten old model because I went through three of them in 3 weeks.
Our Bauer compressors, they're slow, but those things are fucking solid.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
So, it just depends, I guess. I mean, quality control is the biggest thing. Like, your quality control. Some people that have all tops swear by all tops, but the quality control is so varied with all tops that it makes. I mean, it's the same thing with every. Hate to say it. I mean, I do think all top is a decent budget thing to get into for certain products, not recovery, but certain products. Like we have a pop out canopy by all top. I think it's a good, decent thing to start into. But like most things with quality control and the cheaper prices, you are rolling the dice every time you buy something like that. With you getting maybe one of the lower quality pieces and then getting fucked.
And the only compressor brand that I know of that has never had a return is Morflate because their quality control is so good. Dog, get out of here.
So yeah, you got your Morflate in. That's awesome. I think at one point, you know, if I ever have to get another one, I'll go with Morflate and then do the four tire system. Cause that's pretty cool.
I'm going to do four tires, kind of. It's going to be onboard four tire system. That way I don't have to wrap up the whole goddamn hose every time I use it. It's like disconnect a 2 foot long hose at each tire and put that, you know, 8 feet of hose away.
Yeah. I do like having the hose where it's at. I think that in the future I'll run an Anderson into the cab of my truck so I don't have to put the compressor on the ground and move it outside of the truck back and forth, just plug it right in and then go. Where I have it right now behind the seats, not where I would use it because it would get hot and melt some things, but I'd throw it where my feet go.
Yep.
And it would be a perfectly good place to just throw a little Anderson connector right there somewhere.
Right under your seat, so you just pop it out.
Yeah. I do love my Anderson connector that's sitting out of my front plastic of my truck, so I don't have to pop the hood every time. That's really nice, but it would be even nicer to have one inside the vehicle. And I could also use that to jump it, too.
Yeah.
I could sit in my truck and jump it instead of having to sit outside and do it.
I need to get an Anderson connector to pop out of my grill. That way I can just plug my compressor in up there and jump the truck right there.
Yeah.
That way I don't have to dig down to that battery that's under all of my stuff in the back of the car every time I have to do something.
Yeah, it is nice. It is really nice. I've jumped my truck a few times on that one because I thought that the issue is my truck needed a jump, not that it was the negative terminal that loosened. So, of course, you know, me doing that, I'm like, I'm getting power there. I got power straight from the jump, not from the back, you know. And then as I drove, it wiggled my negative back. So
I also,
now that's all fixed up.
I also got the new Morflate tire, what would you call that?
Chuck.
Yeah.
Air chuck?
I got the air chuck, and it has, like, full engagement on my apex valve, and that might be part of why it airs up so fast, because it's impressive, dude. Compared to, like, yep. those little clippy ones from, like, All Top or Rhino USA.
The basic one.
They almost. Get, like, 30% engagement. This gets closer to 100% engagement. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I know in the future, Alex and I and probably Duncan are going to do a test and air up his tires evenly with the same. We're going to do the same tires with the same apex and then use this, just our different compressors and see how fast each one does. Just,
and accurate.
Just as a test. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know my gauge as far as that goes. I don't know how accurate that is.
Well, that's.
I think we talked about that. That it was a couple.
That's why. That's.
You're running the digital one, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I've discovered the digital ones at least are usually 5 off compared to the analog.
And that's why I want to test it. Just because we know, you know, we have one that we know is accurate, so we can test the rest to figure out how, you know, how close they actually are.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we should bring an analog one, though, too, just to check everything.
I think Duncan's is analog, and we could use my Rhino USA one, too.
I also got mine, too.
But
yeah. Well, they use them all to get an accurate
first. I do know that my Rhino USA one and Mark's analog Rhino USA one are going to be 2 to 3 degrees off unless you're going to 40 PSI. Because on an analog gauge, the only pressure that's 100% accurate is the one at the very top of the gauge. Everything before or after that is a little bit off. So if you want an analog gauge, which in my opinion, I prefer analog gauges, you always want your finish PSI to be near the top. So like my All Top, I think it's a 60 PSI gauge, which puts 40 at the very top. I air up to 35, so that's pretty close to accurate. I used to air up to 40, so it was perfect, but I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. I'm probably going to stay at 35 because there is a noticeable difference from 35 to 40.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to probably stay at 35 because my ride was a lot smoother. And I think it's odd, but I think if my tires are cold and my truck sits for a little bit, when I start driving on the road, you can tell it feels a lot clunkier, a lot shakier at first. And then once the tires warm up, everything smooths out. Because I was like, damn, what the fuck's going on in my truck?
I'll tell you.
And then as I drove for a few minutes, it was like, oh, okay, maybe the tires just need to warm up.
Going from load range E's to these load range C's, oh my God, is my life better. Like, my truck is so smooth now.
So, yeah. Oh, in other news, since he got his Morphlate, I'm getting my next shipment of Bison stuff.
Finally.
So that's going to be interesting. Yeah, finally. Well, so they, on one of the products that I'm pretty sure I'm getting, which is the propane tank holder, they had most of that in. One of the products they got shipped was a bad shipment, and they had bad quality control. Not quality control, but like when it got there, it was damaged.
Yeah.
So they sent that back, and they didn't feel comfortable sending me that setup. So we were like, we're just going to wait until we get everything that we're happy with so that we can send it out to you. So I got 3 packages coming from Poland. So, because I think that's where they're based out of there, where I get most of my stuff is out of Poland. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited for that. It should be here within the next couple weeks, I would say week and a half, because their shipping's pretty damn quick for being
That's
overseas.
Cool. The other thing that happened is I got featured on 23Zero's Instagram and Facebook and story.
Famous.
Yeah, so.
Hopefully that brings people to Botches.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. It was your personal.
Yeah,
it
was, but the thing is that we have had a lot of people start. Like, I've had people message me, oh, your podcast is cool.
Yeah.
And then I happened, there was one thing that liked, or one group that liked it. Let me pull this up so I make sure I get their name right. Because I'm going to give them a shout out, even though they haven't responded to me. Remote Trails Radio They have a Overland-based podcast out of Washington. They seem
That's what you said earlier.
They seem pretty cool. Oh, hey, they messaged me. They said, sweet, they'll check it out. So they started about the same time we did. They've got 30-some episodes out. They're not quite as... I don't want to say they're not as on it as us, but they're not quite... They don't have as many followers or anything, but they deserve it. I listened to some of their stuff. They seem pretty cool. I'm going to add them to my list of podcasts to listen to, so that means something.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been listening to a ton of podcasts lately. A lot of YouTube videos. A lot of those. Listening to those more. So
when we did...
I've been too busy.
We did a trip back in... I think it might have been when we went to... Yeah, back in June when we went to Leatherwood. I got behind on podcasts. Like, I have a lot of podcasts I listen to every day. I got behind on them, and for the first time yesterday, I ran out of new episodes to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah, in your job, you can kind of just put them in and go, too, which is
all
nice.
I do. All day, I've got my Zune playing with my headphones ran through my hoodie.
Yep.
Like, that's just all day. That's how I do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I had a few that I listened to. I mostly listen to conspiracy stuff, though. So, I mean, like, I listen to the Overland stuff, but I listen to episodes that interest me.
Yep.
Not kind of everyone that comes out. And then most of it's conspiracy. Or not conspiracy as much, but like cryptid.
I
guess you can put those in the same branch because some people think that cryptids are conspiracy.
I definitely listen to Millennial Media Offensive and what's the other one? The two old guys. No Agenda Show.
Two Bears, One
Cave. No Agenda Show. So I definitely listen to those two. That's about 6 hours of my week. Actually, 9 hours of my week, because Millennial Media Offensive has 1 3-hour show. No Agenda has 2 3-hour shows a week. So that's a good majority of my podcast listening.
So anything upcoming, events, anything that we need to mention?
We got...
Well, we... I was going to say, I had my birthday yesterday.
Mark, you didn't even... I talked to you, and I didn't tell you happy... God, happy birthday, Mark.
I didn't even know. Happy birthday, Mark. I didn't even
How did I forget my best friend's birthday? And he didn't even say anything about it.
I was waiting. Oh, yeah, whatever. I'll just say tomorrow.
This fucking prick.
Jerk.
Yeah, turned 28.
Fucking old man.
Man, only 28? Man, you youngins. I'm turning 31 in January, dude. What am I doing?
I just turned 29. Kalen just turned 30.
That scares me. I'm having a midlife crisis over here.
At your quarter.
Like, what am I doing with
a quarter life crisis?
No, midlife. I never thought I was going to make it to 30, let alone 25. So the fact that I'm 30 now.
But we do have.
I can't imagine living after 60, dude. That's crazy.
We do have Friendsgiving coming up. Down in Crocker, Missouri.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate date too. I wish that would have been a different date. I would have been able to go. My son's birthday is the 18th, and Friendsgiving is like what, the 21st or
21st,
2nd?
Yeah,
21st, 21st and
2nd. 2nd. Yeah, it's like there's no way that I could. It's already a couple hundred because last year we didn't have a party. We were like, he's too young. Like, he ain't gonna remember nothing. This year, it's like, okay, he might remember a little bit, and maybe we should throw him a party, because a bunch of people were, like, upset with us, because they're like, why didn't you throw him a big, like, first birthday? And we're like, because we don't see the point in spending hundreds of dollars on something he'll never remember.
Yeah. Wait.
Because we went out camping instead.
Mark, yesterday was your birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, so you and Jax have a birthday that's within a day of each other. I'll remember that for the rest of my life, because Jax's birthday was Monday. What?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Actually, shit. Yeah, yesterday is my dad's birthday.
So my...
whoops.
So my 3-year-old nephew is now my 4-year-old nephew, and he's exactly the same person, just a year older.
Yeah, I can't wait for that, because he turns 2.
Yet enough.
Yeah, dude,
his dad got him this adventure something. It's like a race car track thing. It's pirate themed. I opened this thing up, and I'm like, God, there's a lot of little parts to this. And then I opened the instructions, and they just kept unfolding. There was like 50-some steps. It took me almost 2.5 hours to get this damn thing put together.
Yeah. That's a punishment, man. Whoever does that.
And I was like,
we're going to get our kid a drum set. We know that's a bad idea, but he loves drumming on stuff.
I texted his dad, and I'm like, dude, I fucking hate you. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, whoever got us crayons on Valentine's Day, fuck you. I don't know who gave us a Crayola pack, but we have like a beige love seat. And all of a sudden, my kid went behind it and squatted. Usually, he'll go and squat somewhere, hide. Yeah. To go poop. So I was like, are you pooping? He goes, yeah. I said, did you poop or did you fart? And he goes, I poop. I said, okay. So I was waiting for him. Like, man, you're being real quiet over there. You ain't pooping that long. So I get up and look. He's got purple crayon all over that beige couch. I'm like, you son of a bitch. Like,
yep.
So I go and throw that away. Somehow he finds another one the day later. We, like, kids don't put their shit back in the packs.
No.
So he must have been in his toy box somewhere, and he just, like, again, all over that side of the couch. I'm like, and then I saw it, like, I was going to the bathroom, and I look on the wall opposite to the bathroom. Fucking, I just painted this wall, like, 2 weeks ago, like, when I had to step out of that podcast, or, you know, flake out of the podcast. Just seen it, like, squiggles all over the wall, and I'm like, I just painted this. Just painted this.
You know what? I wonder, you painting it made him think it was okay to draw on stuff.
Dude.
I don't know. I know that if it was my house, the first 5 feet of every wall would be like chalkboard. I think that would be cool to have like chalkboard paint all the way up, and he could just do his thing, color all the way around
my,
the walls.
The girl that my mom adopted, she's, you know, grown up and moved on, and, well, she's not grown up, but she's gone. She's over 18, but her room was chalkboard paint all the way to the ceiling, and the whole wall was just doodle board. I mean, it was really cool.
That's cool, and that's a good way for your kid to express themselves.
And, like, all her friends would come and sign it and write her little notes and stuff. Like, it was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's good, and it eliminates a stressor, right? Because, like, As someone else that has kids, you now know that, like, there are a lot of stressors, you know, between them getting themselves hurt, turning the stove on, dumping all the trash.
Shitting,
you know,
on the carpet.
Accidentally hitting the TV with a stick because he's playing drums. Like, there's a lot of things. So eliminating one of them by just letting him go on the walls and be himself and have fun. If we ever get a house, which in this market, I have no fucking clue. If we'll ever get a house, but
when the podcast takes off and we're now rich,
yeah. By when I'm actually sponsored by someone,
can do it. The listeners love us; they'll donate to us. By the way, we have donations are open. Just send us some boosts.
Yeah, yeah. If each listener donated $1, I would have $50 that I could spend on a down payment on a kid's playlist.
You would have 50 divided by 3. So.
Yeah, all right. I'd have $18 for a down payment on a dollhouse.
Hell yeah, dude. And with Afterpay, that's actually possible.
Yeah, and with APR, I'd be paying on that for a long-ass time.
No.
With housing prices.
Afterpay doesn't have APR.
No.
Yeah, something
it's
like
that. It's only 4 payments.
Yeah.
Over course,
yeah, I'm gonna have to split that into like 6 to 20.
And
right now,
you know, and you'd have $18 that gets you a step towards having your 4 payments towards a nice tent. You could live in a tent down by. I mean, it's not a van, but a tent down by the river.
Down by the river.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought about going south for the winter. Like, I've been really fighting this midlife crisis nomad scenario, where I just want to take the family pack up and go.
Dude.
And I know in my head, like, financially, I can't. Like, there's no way we'd be able to. But, like, I'm like, something's going to break. Something, we're going to catch a break. something, you know, karma's going to come back and we're going to hit something. We're going to catch our stride. I'm 30. This usually happens to people in their 30s to 40s. Like, I'm like, something's going to happen. I'm going to find that dream job that I've always been looking for. And I keep thinking that. I'm like trying to manifest it instead of bad things. I'm like, it's going to happen. You know, maybe Benji at Midwest,
Midwest Adventure Outfitters. Say,
yeah, no, I just meant like Benji over there at Midwest. Yeah. I know Mayo, but I'm like, maybe he'll need like a sales team or something, and he'll need someone over there, and I could go over there and work on sales, like, and we could move to Missouri, like, because we don't have anywhere that we need to be. I don't want to move south, but I want to move west.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck it. Let's get up and go. Someday,
I
want to
move.
It'll catch someday.
Like, I do want to move, but at the same time, I like it here, you know? Like, it's hard because I do want to just move and not have ties anywhere and just do my own thing. But at the same time, it's kind of nice. Like, tomorrow I got to take Kaylin to an appointment, and I just called my stepmom, was like, hey, I don't know that I'll be back at 3:15 to get the kid off the bus. Could you get him? And, like, they're close, so they can just do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I've always had that. And Sienna's family's been really nice to me about this. But I've always had that loner mentality where I'm like, I have to do this myself. Like, I nobody's going to do it for me. I have to do it myself. And her family's been sometimes aggressive at times to be like, hey, you know what? You don't have to put all this on there. If you need help, if you need them to get watched, just let me know. But I think with that mentality, it does work pretty well when we're out in the middle of nowhere. I'm already in that state. I never try to rely on anyone. So I think it would be really nice. I think it'd be nice to get out and start our own traditions, not be part of everyone else's, if that makes sense. Like, do our own Christmas traditions and do, you know, not be dragged over to every single house.
I have a rule where we will only go to a max of two houses on Christmas Day. And those two houses are mine and one other one. Like, we don't.
Yeah. We typically do three, and that's a bit much.
I mean, we still do, like, sometimes Christmas Eve we'll do stuff with my mom. Luckily, Kaylin, I mean, not luckily, I wish she could talk to that other half of her family, but she doesn't talk to half her family, so it makes holidays nice, because we just have her dad come over on Christmas Day and spend some time with us. But, you know, it's holidays are hard, man, and we're getting into that season where it's going to be, it's hard to go wheeling, because every single weekend is some fucking holiday.
Yeah. Something holiday.
Yeah, we'll
related.
Definitely need to get out and do snow wheeling. I want to get some snow wheeling videos. I have to, and this is a struggle with trying to launch something, like botches, like HOA, like anything that we're actually like trying to do. It's hard to do that as a side gig when you don't have the time to get out and catch content.
Speaking of time,
because if you don't have,
what are you doing on Sunday? Oh, we're not at time, man. We haven't recorded in a while. I don't mind going over.
Okay. Sunday, I don't think I have anything. I'll look after the episode.
I want to get out and do some local wheeling on Sunday.
I have a full tank of gas, so I'm good. I'm ready.
I mean, we're not going to be, like, going to Everett or anything. It's just going to be bumming around Newaygo County, White Cloud area.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm down. We're having another Cords and Calf, right?
Not till like January.
Oh.
Yeah, Cords going to be bummed because he was going to do, he was like, oh, get November's Cords and Calf. Like, I don't think we're doing November's Cords
so,
and Calf.
Yeah, so, November, we're really busy in November. We've got Thanksgiving in November. We've got Friendsgiving where we're going to Missouri. We've got.
I've held up pushing back so many plans for the last couple of weeks. I need to get plans done before winter hits. So this next 2 weekends, I'm kind of busy.
Wait, the next 2 weekends? I thought it was just this coming weekend.
I got something going on in Ann Arbor next Sunday.
Oh, next Sunday? That's not a big deal. I just need you Friday and Saturday because I got maintenance to do. And that's
I also got maintenance.
That skid plate at 150 pounds is a bitch and a half to drop off the truck alone.
Yeah.
You mean both the oil change? Because my truck just chimed at me for oil.
I haven't done one since before we went to Leatherwood. Like, I'm in desperate need.
Yeah, you're in desperate need.
Yeah, I just did mine when we did our brakes.
We need to drain diffs and refill diffs, so that needs to happen.
Yeah, we pushed that off pretty bad.
Yeah, bring me along on that one.
I also I need to change that axle seal on the driver's side front.
Oh, yeah.
The one that's leaking.
I do need to give a shout-out to Brian. Brian R. Sweet. Thank you very much. I owe you a couple dry tuggies. He gave me a couple of those parts that we had had at the meet. He gave me, I think there were two calipers. He gave me some wheel bearings and a couple things. About six or seven
Dude,
items.
Brian's pretty great.
Thank you very much. You saved me a lot. He is. He's a great guy. He's hilarious. He's got my same, dark humor. So I could send shit to him on Instagram and know that he won't take it.
Yeah, me and Brian send each other some of the weirdest fucking shit, dude.
Yeah.
I just got...
Him and I, too.
He sent me something today with a fucking jawbreaker on a hot metal just melting itself.
Dude, he sends me, like dark shit. Like, I can't even talk about it on the podcast.
He sends me dark shit and gay shit.
Oh, gay shit.
We send each other funny gay shit all the time. It's funny. I told him when we, because he was dressed up as a lobster for this trunk or treat. And I was like, which one of these? I said, does lobsters have dicks? And I reached under his tail in his costume and reached up there. And he goes, yeah, come on, feel
it. Did you see the octopus?
He had a little octopus.
The vagina?
Yeah. Yeah, he looked at Brian and said, you're saving this for later. He's like, yep, this is going in the bedroom. He had this inflatable octopus in the back of his Forerunner, and it had a little hole in it where you're supposed to, like, grab candy out of it. And
it was
like,
a slit.
I said, this is like...
It was not a hole. It was a slit.
It was an octopusy. and for sure, I looked at him, and he looked at me. We met eyes. We both smiled, and he's like, yeah, I'll be using it later. I was like, yeah. I was going to tell you. That might be a good idea. I was going to ask you if you wanted it or if you wanted me to take it home.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's a funny guy. He's great. He's been to a lot of our things lately. He's been getting out to come. So it's always cool. This is the first time camping with him this summer. I think a lot of us, actually, the first time he's come out.
Yeah, because he always bails on third-gen weekend, like, the day of.
Yeah. So, it's cool. He's been around a lot. He's a good man, good guy to have around. So, I did get to meet up with another guy at Bill. I haven't seen him since the first kids' camp this summer. And he did some upgrades to his fucking Jeep. That was pretty sick. He got, like, a half topper or whatever.
Yeah,
for his Gladiator, and threw his rooftop tent on that. And he does a lot of his own mods. He does like trucking and stuff. So it was cool catching up with him, and it's always cool going to those meets just to catch up with the old friends that you don't see.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't see them for months. Sometimes it's almost a whole year. Like
I like the wheeling part of off roading, but the social part is so fun, dude. Like. And there's a lot. There's a lot to the social side of it. And it comes with some drama, but you just fucking put that shit off. And
yeah. Right. And I think that's something that, like, that's what these communities are about, too, is not only is it a good information source, but it's a really good way to find friends in a community where you don't typically have local friends. Like, our group, the Botches group, isn't the typical... It isn't usual.
Well, and then,
right? Like, there's not a lot of people that are that close.
Right. And if you think about the Botches group, like, it was me, Mark, Duncan didn't come from MST, but you and Shane, I would not have known you. Like, I knew that you were married to Sienna, but I'd never met you. You know, I just knew that Sienna got married to some fat guy named Gavin.
Yeah, exactly. So. At least he came out with a Toyota. Yeah, that's the one plus. So, I mean, but yeah, you don't meet these people unless you go to these events. And some of these people I would consider in the future, lifelong friends. And you don't find that. Like, as working adults and working men, a lot of the times you don't get that kind of interaction at work. We're older now. We don't go to bars every fucking week or multiple
even
days
then,
a week.
The friends you make at bars, 9 times out of 10, they're a very close friend that lasts a year or two. You don't get...
They're not real friends, I guess.
Like, me and Mark...
And it's...
Like, me and Mark, we've been friends for, what, like, 6, 7 years now? Like, it's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a bit.
Yeah. So, it's one of those things. And the thing is like, the people like us, our typical groups aren't in bars.
No.
They're not at Playdates. They're not at Target, you know? There is no real... They're at campgrounds. They're secluded.
Home Depot.
You know, they're out in the middle of nowhere. They're at Home Depot. They're working on their car. They're not... They don't... A lot of us stay at home. We don't do these events like outside of Wheeling and rigs and stuff. We don't do, I don't know. So it's one of the only ways to meet these type of people. And, you know, it takes a lot of trust to trust some of these guys to go out camping with them for the first time. And but you know what? Everything goes well. And like people like Nolan, you know, you guys, I've met a few of them. I really like Bill. A lot of these guys are what I would consider longtime friends. You know, I absolutely would have went to Nolan's wedding if I could have. And it just happened to be the wrong time. And not Nolan's, I'm not saying reschedule it, but it just, you know, wrong date, just didn't line up. And but these guys are really good guys. I mean, you really get to know them when you're up till 3 a.m.
Dog.
Shooting shit and start... You always get into that deep shit at about 3 a.m. You get that. You hit that 1 to 3 a.m. where the camp gets real quiet. Fuck, me and Nolan have stayed up till 4 a.m. talking about shit that people don't talk... I mean, you don't talk about it unless you have close friends, right? Like, and so... You know, and that's the kind of community you find in people. So that's why these events, these groups are so good, especially in the winter. Because in the winter, like, cabin fever, depression's all-time high. You got to have a way to get out there and have someone to talk to. Because it gets rough, man. Before I met you guys, I mean, basically my winter was just working and sitting at home, and that got rough. Yeah. Like, that shit gets dark when you're stuck into that rut.
Now right? I get random calls at 3 a.m. Hey, there's some guy stuck. Do you want to go save him?
And that's fun. It's different. And then they're not even there.
They're not even there.
Or they... Or... So, me and Alex have done probably, what, 5 rescues this year?
Yeah, something like that.
And every single rescue before we get out there, they get
Or
rescued.
Just get themselves
but
out.
But we're out there
or
together.
Or they just get themselves out.
Yeah.
Or they just quit...
Or they're not even
or
there.
Or they quit responding. Listen, dog.
Yeah.
No one wants to hear you.
Aw. So, yeah, I mean, it's while it's not the most convenient, a lot of the times these rescues are like 11 p.m., 12 p.m., or 12 a.m., whatever. And so we're like, well, all right, let's go throw our shit on. We're up anyway. Let's go do it. So, I mean, it's fun. Or we go in storm chase. That was pretty fun, too.
That was so fun.
Yeah, I almost went out with you the one day, and I didn't see your shit until later, but that unfortunately, that storm was there and gone pretty quick.
That was a very short-lived storm. I
look forward to the winter storm chasing,
fuck
bro.
Yeah.
It's gonna
it
be
wasn't even,
year.
Like, advertised that there was going to be a storm. I just looked out, and I'm like, huh, the clouds are dark. Hey, Gavin, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to winter storm chasing, getting those chainsaws in the truck. And just driving around, pulling people out. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we didn't mention, and I'll jump back to this real quick. On our little poker cords and calf run, I did get to use my winch.
You did?
For the first time since mounting my winch, I got to use it on another truck. So that was cool. When Shane got hung up on his, I think it was on his frame, on that rut, I pulled him out. The 3 or 4 feet. That was the first time I did that, and it is important to use proper recovery techniques. So I had Mark next to me. He was helping me hook up, And I asked Mark the whole time, I'm like, hey, you know, am I hooking this soft shackle up right? You know, I just wanted to make sure. I've done a soft shackle before. I haven't done it under a winch load. So I wanted to make sure I was doing everything right. Make sure that's another good way, good reason to have this community with you is that when you are unexperienced in some ways, you can lean on other people like Mark. He's done recoveries. He knows what he's doing. So I can lean on him and go, hey, I just want to make sure I'm doing this right. I don't want to fuck it up. Yep, you're doing it right. Cool.
Yeah.
And keep going. And, you know, everybody clears out of the way. Hey, just double checking. I got to have my foot on the brake, right? Because I can't. That can't be good for my transmission. Everyone goes, yep. I said, okay, cool.
That parking pole does a great job. I have winched out without having my foot on the brake so many times.
Yeah, I just don't want to
stress
it.
The fact that my truck rocks when you put it in park, that's normal.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the little bit of shift that you get, that's typically fine.
But hey guys, we're at about an hour and a half-ish.
I'm ready to poop.
Yeah, I kind of got to poop. That's kind of where I was going with this. And this dog, I think she might have to poop too. I don't know if you heard her talking earlier. We'll catch you guys later.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the
next. I was going to try and get everyone else's sign-offs. I think Snail Trail does keep crawling. I don't remember what Benji's is. Yeah, everyone's got crazy sign-offs, so catch you guys later, I guess.
Yep, later.